All right, so we're diving into Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan today.
Okay.
Looks like you've been spending some time with them.
I have.
We've got notes on their podcast episode and even some excerpts from the YouTube transcript.
Ooh.
You're really going deep on this one.
Yeah.
Language, psychedelics, religion, even a bit of AI.
Sounds like a typical Rogan and Peterson conversation.
It really does.
Yeah.
So how do they kick things off?
Well, what's interesting is how Rogan and Peterson use this specific episode to search for meaning, not just in a personal sense, but in a larger context of society and how we understand the world around us.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So they're not just talking about like their own individual lives, but how all of this stuff connects to the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah.
So where do they start with that?
Well, they kick things off talking about words
Okay.
and not just as tools for communication.
Right.
Peterson even says choosing a word is a moral act.
Whoa, hold on. So they think we can like manifest things into reality just by talking about them.
Well, they both seem to agree that words have more power than we realize.
Okay.
It's not about magic, though.
Right.
It's more about the way our language shapes our thoughts, which then influence our actions and the reality we create.
So if I tell myself I'm going to have a great day, I'm more likely to actually have one.
It's not quite that simple,
Okay.
but there's some truth to it.
Right.
Think about the way media uses language to frame a story. It can completely change your perception of an event,
Oh, yeah.
or the way political rhetoric can sway public opinion.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if you constantly hear certain words or phrases repeated, you start to internalize them and they become part of your reality.
Exactly.
Wow, words are powerful.
They are.
So Peterson connects this to logos, right?
He does.
Which is like the idea that the universe was created through language.
To put it simply,
Oh,
there.
yeah. Okay. So that's pretty heavy stuff.
It is a core concept in Judeo-Christian thought,
Right.
but it also has parallels in Eastern philosophy.
Interesting. So this idea that words have power is not just limited to one culture or religion.
Exactly. It's a universal concept.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So words matter. We've established that.
We have.
But then things take a turn for the psychedelic with Rogan as usual.
Of course.
He seems to think psychedelics are the key to consciousness, even suggesting they played a role in the evolution of language itself.
Yeah, Rogan's a big fan of the Stone Date Theory,
Ah, yes.
which suggests that early humans' consumption of psilocybin mushrooms led to a leap in cognitive function.
So our ancestors are tripping out, and suddenly they're inventing language and art.
Well, the theory focuses less on the psychedelic experience itself and more on the potential for psilocybin to increase visual acuity and social bonding in early primates.
Okay, so maybe those psychedelic experiences weren't the main event, but more like a side effect.
Right.
Interesting.
But it's important to remember that's still a theory. There's some intriguing evidence, but nothing conclusive.
Of course.
And we can't forget the scientific research that's emerging on the potential benefits of psychedelics for treating things like depression and addiction.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's a lot of promising research happening in that area.
There is.
But Peterson seems a little more cautious about all this,
It does.
even warning about the dangers of hedonistic chaos if we're not careful.
Yeah. He emphasizes the importance of using these substances responsibly and with a clear intention.
Okay.
He sees them as powerful tools for self-exploration, but not something to be taken lightly.
So a little more set and setting, as they say in the psychedelic community.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Peterson would probably agree that the context in which you use psychedelics, your mindset, your environment, your intentions, plays a huge role in shaping the experience and its potential benefits or risks.
Okay, so use responsibly. Don't just go out there and start experimenting without doing your research first.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Then they shift gears again, this time landing on religion.
Okay.
Peterson spends a lot of time unpacking biblical stories, not literally, but psychologically.
He views these stories as profound psychological maps.
Okay.
Take the story of Moses and the burning bush.
Okay.
Peterson sees it as a metaphor for confronting challenges and stepping outside your comfort zone.
It's about answering the call to adventure, even when it's scary or uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
He's drawing a parallel between Moses' encounter with the divine and the moments in our own lives when we're called to step up and face something difficult.
It makes you think about those moments in your own life, right? Those times when you had to confront something you were afraid of.
Exactly. And he's not the first to find psychological depths in these stories. Carl Jung, the famous psychologist, talked about archetypes.
Right.
These universal patterns of human behavior that are reflected in myths and stories across cultures.
So even if you're not religious, these stories can still hold meaning and provide insights into the human experience.
Precisely.
That's pretty cool. So Peterson's arguing that the same struggles faced by biblical figures, doubt, temptation, sacrifice, are the same ones we grapple with today.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got words shaping our reality. Psychedelics can potentially expand our consciousness. And ancient stories offer timeless wisdom.
Right.
Where do we go from here?
From there, they move into a critique of modern institutions, specifically universities.
Okay.
They argue that many universities have become echo chambers prioritizing ideology over intellectual diversity.
And this leads them to discuss Peterson Academy, right?
It does.
Peterson's online platform that aims to offer a different kind of education.
They see it as a potential solution to the problems they perceive in traditional academia.
It's a bold move for sure.
It is.
And definitely sparking a lot of debate.
A lot of debate.
From what we see in the transcript excerpts, the production value is top notch.
It is.
It's like they're trying to create a truly engaging and accessible learning experience.
Yeah.
It's certainly a different approach, and it raises interesting questions about the future of education.
It does.
Is this the direction we're headed?
Right.
Will online platforms like this replace traditional universities?
That's the question.
And that brings us to a topic Peterson's known for, his critique of postmodernism and identity politics.
Yeah.
He sees them as forces of division and resentment, even going so far as to call postmodernism mutated Marxism.
Strong words.
They're strong words.
Yeah.
So what's he getting at there?
He argues that postmodernism, with its rejection of overarching narratives and emphasis on individual perspectives, can lead to a fragmentation of society. He believes it fuels identity politics, which he sees as creating a victim-oppressor dynamic that prevents meaningful dialogue.
So instead of looking for common ground, we get stuck in these endless cycles of accusation and victimhood.
That's his concern.
Okay.
He believes we need to find a way to acknowledge differences while also recognizing our shared humanity and working together towards a common good.
That sounds like a pretty tall order in today's world.
It is a challenge.
But it's definitely something to think about.
Yes.
And this leads us to perhaps the most crucial theme of their conversation, which is the importance of personal responsibility.
Okay. Peterson argues that instead of dwelling in resentment or blaming others for our misfortunes, we should focus on taking ownership of our lives and striving to become better versions of ourselves.
Yeah, he's got that famous line, clean your room. It's become a bit of a meme, but there's a deeper message there, right?
Absolutely. It's about taking responsibility for the things you can control, even if it's something as small as tidying up your space. It's a starting point for cultivating self-discipline and order in your life.
And from there, you can start tackling bigger challenges.
Exactly. He even makes a surprising connection between responsibility and adventure.
Really?
He believes they're essentially the same thing.
I've never thought about it that way, but it kind of makes sense. Taking on responsibility, facing challenges, it can be pretty adventurous if you look at it the right way.
He uses fatherhood as an example.
Okay.
A good father, he says, doesn't shield his children from the world.
Right.
But encourages them to step into it, to take risks, and face adversity.
So it's a form of tough love, but with the goal of helping them grow and become more resilient.
Exactly. He sees it as a form of sacrificial love, letting go and allowing those we care about to face challenges so they can learn and mature.
That ties back into his whole thing about biblical stories as psychological maps, right? Like, those stories are full of characters who face incredible challenges and have to make difficult choices.
It's like he's saying those same archetypal patterns are playing out in our own lives. We all face our own versions of the hero's journey, the struggle against adversity, the temptation to give up.
And the choice to keep going, to rise to the challenge, even when it's hard, that's where the growth happens.
Precisely. It's in those moments of confrontation with our limitations that we discover our true strength and resilience.
They also get into a pretty deep conversation about AI, which seems to be on everyone's mind these days.
Yeah.
Rogan seems excited about its potential, while Peterson is more cautious, bringing up the whole alignment problem.
That's the concern. That as AI becomes more sophisticated, we need to ensure it aligns with human values and goals.
Okay.
Otherwise, it could pose a serious threat.
It's like that sci-fi trope where the robots become self-aware and decide humans are the problem.
It might sound far-fetched, but many experts in the field share this concern. They're working on ways to build safeguards into AI systems to prevent unintended consequences.
It's interesting that they talk about training AI on classic literature and religious texts. It's like they're trying to give AI a moral compass by exposing it to the wisdom of the ages.
Peterson sees these texts as containing a kind of moral code, a framework for ethical behavior that could potentially be used to guide the development of AI.
It's a fascinating idea, using the stories that have shaped human morality for centuries to shape the development of artificial intelligence.
It raises a lot of questions, though.
Like what?
Can you really program morality into a machine? Mm-hmm. What are the potential risks and benefits?
And ultimately, it comes back to that question of responsibility. If we're creating these incredibly powerful AI systems, we have a responsibility to ensure they're used for good, not for harm.
And that brings us to the final thought Peterson leaves us with.
Okay.
He asks, what is the spirit informing your thoughts and actions?
Whoa, that's deep. What does he even mean by spirit in this context?
He's not necessarily talking about religion here. He's talking about the underlying motivations driving your choices.
Mm-hmm.
Are you driven by resentment, bitterness, fear? Or are you striving for something higher, something more noble?
It's like he's challenging us to examine our own hearts, to ask ourselves what kind of people we want to be and what kind of world we want to create.
And I think that's a powerful message to take away from this deep dive. It's not just about understanding the ideas of Rogan and Peterson. It's about applying those ideas to our own lives, making conscious choices about the stories we tell ourselves and the actions we take.
So it's not enough to just consume this information. We have to actually do something with it.
Exactly. It's about turning knowledge into action, using these insights to make positive changes in our own lives and in the world around us.
Now, that's a challenge I think we can all get behind. So it feels like Peterson is saying we have more control over our reality than we realize.
Yeah.
Like, if we buy into negativity and resentment, they become self-fulfilling prophecies.
Right.
But if we choose stories of responsibility and growth, maybe that's the direction our lives will take.
He's touching on the power of narrative.
Okay.
Both on an individual and societal level. We're constantly creating and revising our own stories. And those narratives shape how we see ourselves in the world.
So are we just puppets of our own narratives?
I think both Rogan and Peterson would argue we have more agency than we realize.
Okay.
We could choose the values we prioritize.
Right.
The stories we embrace and the actions we take.
But it can't be easy to break free from negative patterns, especially when it feels like negativity is all around us.
True.
How do we even begin to shift those narratives?
It takes a willingness to challenge our assumptions and biases. Okay. We need to be open to different perspectives and willing to step outside our comfort zones.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that's why so many people stick with the familiar, even if it's not serving them.
Change is never easy.
True.
But it's always possible. Peterson would probably argue that the journey of personal growth is an ongoing process, a constant striving to become a little bit better each day.
So what's the main takeaway for me after this deep dive?
Well, Rogan and Peterson offer a lot of thought-provoking ideas.
Yeah.
They highlight the importance of language, the potential of psychedelics.
Right.
The wisdom found in ancient stories.
Yeah.
And the need for personal responsibility.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is. But ultimately, they encourage us to stay curious and keep questioning the narratives that shape our lives.
Don't just accept things at face value. Dig deeper, explore different perspectives, and ultimately decide for yourself what you believe and how you want to live.
Precisely. And remember, the spirit informing your actions matters.
Right.
Are your choices driven by fear and resentment, or are you guided by something more positive?
Something to think about.
It's a question worth pondering as you continue your own exploration.
Well, this deep dive has given me a lot to think about. It's like those conversations that leave you feeling energized and ready to tackle new challenges.
And hopefully you've gained some valuable insights along the way.
I have. Thanks for guiding me through this dense material. I feel like I've got a much better grasp on Rogan and Peterson's perspectives now.
It's been a pleasure. Remember to keep asking questions.
I will.
Keep learning and keep diving deep into the topics that fascinate you.
Until next time.